A focus on Asian economies.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The 21-member Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum is underway in Vietnam. President Bush came to preach free markets. However, he arrived without an historic trade deal he had hoped to present to America's former Vietnamese foes. Meantime, Chinese President Hu Jintao urged wealthy nations to invest more in developing Asian nations like Vietnam. As correspondent Nguyen Ky Duc reports, the Chinese leader's comments have set a tone.
And people are following him in terms of seeing what the Chinese are going to do next now that Vietnam is rising as a country that has taken the Chinese example and liberalized its economy. Whether nations in the West will invest in Vietnam will show whether people are listening to Hu Jintao, but at the same time it creates a kind of friction for Vietnam and China as Vietnam rises to be a small competitive nation in the region.
Already on the sidelines at the summit, Vietnam has signed two deals with U.S. companies worth $1.5 billion. General Motors has its eye on Asia. With its market share slipping in the U.S., the company says it hopes to grab 10% of the Asian market by the year 2010. GM says it's targeting China and India, where economic growth is spurring demand for cars. He was a giant in the field of economics both nationally and globally. Milton Friedman died yesterday at the age of 94 in San Francisco. Friedman spent much of his career as a professor at the University of Chicago. Fellow UC professor James Heckman says while Friedman's ideas are popular now, it wasn't always that way.
It's very easy now at Chicago for everybody to say, oh, you know, free market matters. You have to understand that in 1947, that was viewed as such an oddball notion.
Glenn Hubbard is the dean of Columbia's business school. He says Friedman was a powerful advocate for economic freedom.
I think much of the essential insights of modern monetary policy have Milton Friedman's name on them. But almost larger than that is his single-minded focus on the role of economic freedom in society. The entrepreneurial dynamism that characterizes the modern U.S. economy would not be possible without that ethos. And Friedman is among the few great economists of his generation that really champion that.
Friedman opposed government intervention and price controls. He favored steady, moderate growth. In 1976, he won the Nobel Prize for Economics. Well, if they're not too tired, there could be lots of game playing ahead today for owners of Sony's long-awaited PlayStation 3 game console. The two devices, one at $5, the other at $600, went on sale in limited numbers at midnight. If you can believe it, some people showed up days ago just to get a spot in line. Well, some similar enthusiasm yesterday on Wall Street. Cheaper oil and low consumer prices meant more optimism on the market. The Dow climbed 54 points to 12,305. The Nasdaq rose 6 points to 2449. The S&P eased up 3 points. It's at 1399. But in Tokyo, the Nikkei fell again, down 72 points or 0.4%. This is Marketplace. What are you stressed about? A nonprofit group has explored that question in a new study. It wanted to know what people find most stressful about their lives. Want to guess what scored the highest? That might be too stressful. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
48% of Americans said finances caused them more worry than anything else. 34% said health worries got them down, and just behind that came employment issues. Latino Americans are the most stressed out about work matters. Dr. Sergio Aguilar-Gaxiola is chairman of the board of Mental Health America, which conducted the survey.
This is the most uninsured group in the U.S. The employment that Latinos have often don't pay for insurance.
A couple of trends that go beyond ethnicity. Americans who don't have college degrees are more stressed than those who do, and parents report higher levels of stress than non-parents. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with 4 top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over 1 billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. This weekend, MGM reimagines James Bond in the film Casino Royale. Actor Daniel Craig takes over the role from Pierce Brosnan. The 007 series has lasted more than 40 years and has set the standard for a movie franchise in Hollywood. Franchises make a lot of money for studios. Not surprisingly, companies are always looking for new ones. Mike Spire is a managing editor for Daily Variety. Some franchises work, some don't. What magic has kept Bond around for so long?
If everyone knew the answer, then everyone would be rich, wouldn't they? You just never know. Some of them die in the fourth film. Some of them, like Bond, go into the 20s. So you just never know, and that's the magic of the movie business.
Yeah, but there's got to be some formula. There's got to be something that makes it more likely to work than others.
Well, the formula is, if every movie before it does reasonably well, that's the formula. I mean, Bond never bombs. Bond has its ups and downs. Sometimes it does great. Sometimes it does not so great. But in the end, Bond, Star Trek, those movies, all of them made money. And so that's the formula they look at, believe it or not. There's no creative formula. There's more of a financial formula.
Do studios try and put deals together in order to keep actors together if something's going to work?
They certainly want to. They would love to bring everybody back for every kind of franchise. I mean, that's the point. Because once you have the pre-sold property off your plate, like they don't have to market Pirates of the Caribbean anymore. Everyone knows it. They would like to get Orlando Bloom and Johnny Depp and Keira Knightley back because everyone knows those actors. And while they get more expensive, they also know that they can sell them overseas. They can sell them to the public because they already know them. So those are two elements of marketing that they can get rid of because those are the hardest parts of marketing.
Seems like material for franchises can come from anywhere. We've had Godfather. We've had Ian Fleming and James Bond. We've got Narnia. Where do studios look when they're looking for franchises?
Studios look a lot of times at the book world. I mean, they nowadays, because a lot of books are fantasy books, and with the success, of course, of Harry Potter and the success of Lord of the Rings, people are looking to books because they're easily adaptable. And once they get them in their fold, they think they can turn it into franchise. Whenever stories are written about book purchases, they always say with the hopes of making it a franchise for the studio. Because if they get a Harry Potter and something like that and it succeeds, all of a sudden you can make 5, 6, 7 of them because, look, people know what the property is.
If studios know that they can count on a franchise, does that make it easier for them to make smaller films?
They're not in the business of making small films. They like when they click. They certainly
small,
like
profitable films.
Sure, exactly. When A Good Night and Good Luck makes money for, you know, they're the little Warner independent arm, or The March of the Penguins, or Brokeback Mountain for Universal and Focus, it's wonderful because you invest, you know, what other great investment? You put in $15 million, you make $120 million. That's wonderful. But in general, because you have shareholders and you have stock prices and you have tons of people working at the conglomerates, you can't be in the business of small movies. You have to be in the business of Spider-Man and Batman.
Mike Spire is managing editor for Daily Variety. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
It's sort of like being a software engineer.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.